Thank you for joining us for our sermon podcast. Emmanuel United Methodist Church is located at 1351 Main Street in Welford, South Carolina. Our mission at Emmanuel states, by God's grace and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we pursue Christ to become and make disciples for the transformation of the world. Our hope is that this message will help you as you grow in God's grace, trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to pursue Christ with all you have. Now sit back and listen for what the Lord may be saying to you as Pastor Andrew delivers today's message. Thank you.
So today we're going to look at a very, very special day for the Israelites of the Old Testament. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 4, so if you want to go ahead and get there, go ahead and power that up. It's going to be on there for you. I'm going to set the scene real quick before we get there. So here's what's going on. Moses has died. Moses has now given leadership to Joshua, and these Israelites are unsure about this new, younger, less experienced leader. I don't know if any of you have ever been in that place. I have. But God speaks to Joshua in Joshua 3, and he tells him, today I'm going to do something that will exalt you in front of the people, and they will have no doubt that I have sent you. And that's where we're picking up our scripture lesson today. So we're in Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4, they're going to cross into the promised land. There's a problem with getting to the promised land. It's called the Jordan River. And it was flood season. But these are the instructions from God nonetheless. On page 170, if you're in one of the Emmanuel Bibles, if you're in your own Bible, please be in your own Bible if you have one. But they will be up here if you need that as well. So let's go to the word of the Lord from Joshua chapter 4. When the entire nation had finished crossing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, select 12 men from the people, one from each tribe, and command them, take 12 stones from here out of the middle of Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood, carrying them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you camp tonight. Then Joshua summoned the 12 men from the Israelites, whom he had already appointed, one from each tribe. Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord, your God, into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder, one for each of the tribes of the Israelites, so that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do those stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off in front of the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the Israelites a memorial forever. The Israelites did as Joshua commanded. They took up 12 stones out of the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, carried them over with them to place them where they camped and laid them down there. This is the word of God for you, the beloved people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every heart gathered here be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So let me paint a picture for you. They walk out into the middle of this Jordan River that's flooding. And off in a great distance, we see the details in chapter 3, but off in a great distance, the water starts backing up. And where the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, stood, it was dry ground. And so now the entire nation passes through. They're over on the other side. I want you to think for a minute how excited you would be to be on the other side. And then guess what Joshua says? Hey, you 12, go back in. Well, why couldn't we pick up the stones when we came through, Joshua? But it didn't work that way. So they go back in. They hoist up these stones. They're not huge stones, but they're big enough that the men would have had to kind of carry it on their shoulder. And when they piled it up. So there they are as a memorial. Those stones were there to remind the Israelites of all that God had done. A memorial is defined as something, especially a structure, that is established to remind people of a person or a past event. That's the actual definition. And that's important for us today for two reasons that I want us to dive into. The first is that it reminds them or us of what God had done. It's a reminder of what God has done. And the second thing is it's a way to tell others about what God is doing. So the first thing, it's a reminder of all God had done. I want you to think back to a very special place or event for you. I've got several, only a handful I'm going to share with you today, but there's certain stadiums that I like to visit. Some way more than others. Some I have visited quite a bit. They take about an hour and 20 minutes to get here. And I've spent most of my times there in the fall on a Saturday afternoon. And you kind of go 26 east. I want to clarify without showing preference in the house of the Lord. I know some of you sinners will share your preferences in the house of the Lord, but I'm not doing that. No, not today. But now when I go to that place, I'm starting to take my children. And I start telling all these old stories. Hey, I remember when, oh, see that? Oh, look over there. And while they're hearing, probably not listening, but hearing these stories, what's happening in my head? I'm replaying those memories. Right, here's one that doesn't have anything to do with sports that probably applies to some of you. We used to have Thanksgiving lunch over at my Mimi's house. And if you think hard enough, you can almost smell, you can almost taste the food that was being prepared. Especially two of my favorites. They had these little peanut butter pumpkin balls. And they made it look like a, what was that little thing you stick in the top of it? A clove. How fancy. I just found out my family was fancy for Thanksgiving. But we would eat those peanut butter balls and we would help roll them up and they, can you taste them? I mean, and then the second were these little cheesecake cups with the cherries on top. Remember those? I mean, you can almost think about your favorite memory. If you think hard enough, long enough, you'll end up mentally being there, won't you? Now when I drive over towards Reedville, there's all these fields that I used to play in as a child that backed up right beside my grandmother's house. And I'll tell my son every time, oh, we used to play in those fields. Oh, we used to go back and there was a big rock, probably wasn't, but a big rock back there and this huge tree. And I'm reminding myself of those stories and I'm having that special feeling again. You see, remembering things, they take us back and they really help us kind of experience that feeling once again. These stones did that for the Israelites. Now when they traveled back, it was there to remind them that God did fulfill His promise to see them through to the promised land, but it didn't come easy. That a miracle had to happen for them to get there. The second thing that these stones do is they are a way for them to tell others, especially their children, but it's also a way for us to tell others. It is a way to take the memories that are so special to us about what God has done in our lives, and it gives us a conversation starter to tell other people. When we visit special places, or we go to certain events, we get a little nostalgic, I think is what they call it. I'm just learning of all these older terms because we're just now getting old. But you start telling the good old days stories. Those of you still in your 20s, you're looking at me like, bro, come on, man. Like, I promise you one day you're going to say, remember back to when things were so much better? It happens. A few weeks ago, Anna Claire was with us, and we were serving lunch over at Salkehatchie in Lyman. And we tell her every time we drive by there, that's Mommy and Daddy and Bubba's old church. But to her, it's just a church. She doesn't know anything about that church. She was baptized in that church, but it doesn't mean anything to her. So we go in. She plays all through the playground, sweaty mess, eats her ice cream. We get ready to go. And we said, do you want to go see where Mom and Dad got married? Do you want to go see where Bubba and Anna Claire were baptized? Yeah. So we go in the sanctuary, and I cut the lights on, and she said, wow, it's so pretty. Oh, wow, Pastor Brian's church has cross like Daddy's church. She doesn't understand it. Churches have crosses. But then she was, wow, it's so big. And she probably forgot about it by the time we got to the car. But for a brief moment, she relived those memories that she was not yet a part of. I imagine that it wasn't very different for the Israelites. Hey, Daddy, what do those stones mean to you? Oh, those stones. Those stones? Oh, those are special stones, son. Let me tell you about those stones. You know, dads can never just tell the story. They got to build it up. Well, son, we were coming into the promised land, but the river was there and it was flooded over, and God made the water stop. And we let us cross. And then we went back and got these stones so we'd never forget what he did for us. It's pretty special, isn't it? The truth is that the vast majority of you in this place today see this church in one way or another as a memorial stone of your life. It has at some point in your life played an important role, or you wouldn't be here today. When you enter this place, what do you think about? Is it weddings? Is it funerals? Baptisms? Prayers that you've cried out? Prayers you didn't even have words to pray? Friends, loved ones, neighbors, all doing life together. You may have even said a few times when traveling through the main street of Welford, which I know you all do every day because it is such a populated road. Ooh, see that church over there? See that? Then you can finish the sentence. That's probably happened to you a few times. You may be remembering hearing the terrible news that Shell Anderson Memorial Methodist Church, which y'all more popularly call Jackson Mill Methodist, had burned to the ground. Some of you remember the stories of that heartache on that Thursday evening, April the 6th in 1967. Some of you remember it well. You've heard the stories. Maybe you remember the stories of how a community came together and you begin worshiping in a schoolhouse. Welford Elementary School, now called Welford Academy, until there were plans to build this church. Maybe you remember the stories and the hope that you felt when they broke ground for construction here on this place. Stories of August the 4th, 1968. Part of the memorial stones that make this place home. But maybe your story doesn't end there. Maybe you remember the story of crossing through that Jordan River, something you thought would never happen. They kept telling you it would, but you walked into this place for the first time on July 20th, 1969, as Emmanuel United Methodist Church. God fulfilling His promises when there were days of doubts that He could ever do it. Stories of how God made a way when there was no way. Stories of the highs, the lows, the celebrations, and the heartaches. Some of you, your memories don't go back that far. But for you, this is still a special place. It's a place where you have once again found yourself active in a church home after years of being disconnected from the church. It's where you've met new friends. It's where you've had children. It's where you've seen them baptized. It's where you've heard them stand and sing, "God's not dead, He's roaring like a lion." And if you've never heard that, you're missing one of the greatest joys in the world. Maybe your memory is sitting here each week wondering, why in the world do I keep coming back to this place? What is it about them? Is this going to be home? You see, we all have memories. We all have stones. But when's the last time you stopped to consider all that God has done for you in your own life? But all that God has done for you and through you in the life of this excellent church. When is the last time you told someone of what God has done for you? You don't need to know scripture. You don't need to tell them about your burning bush moment. They need to hear what God's doing in your life today that can help them in their tomorrow. Amen. There are countless ways that this place is special. But we have evidence. There is evidence of what happens when we stop remembering and when we stop telling the stories. Jump to Judges chapter 2 with me. Joshua's dead, and now they've elected judges to take over and rule over them. Like that was a great idea. It's not. But it says, moreover, that whole generation, Joshua's generation, was gathered to their ancestors, and another generation, not Joshua's, the next one, grew up after them, who did not know the Lord or the works that He had done for Israel. How is that even remotely possible? What happened? It's pretty simple. They stopped telling the stories. They stopped telling themselves what God had done. They stopped telling others what God had done. And they started looking at all these battles and victories they had won, and they got real proud of themselves. Then they had some discord between each other, and they let that just separate them. The whole point of the stones was so when the children asked, they would have a story to tell. The stones haven't moved. But yet we see they did not know the Lord or the works that He had done for them. Too often we let the battles of life cause us to lose sight of all God's doing for us. The victories we forget God, the defeats we wonder where He is. Too often we find ourselves in Judges chapter 2 and not Joshua chapter 4. So what do these stones mean to you? To me, they were an opportunity to step into a calling, to grow, to fail, to try again, to grow some more, to fail again, and to keep trying again. They were a reminder that God used this church once again to raise up something special when most people had given up hope, when most people said it couldn't happen. God kept working. What do these stones mean to you? It means that there was once an elementary school that housed this mobile altar. For those of you who don't know, this mobile altar, which is really a cabinet that they put wheels on because it's all they had left, this is the only remaining piece of property that did not burn up in that fire. And when Jackson Mill Methodist Church had nothing else, they took this and they made it a way to praise and honor God, and they did it in an elementary school. And now God has sent us into that elementary school to change the lives of those students. That's what these stones mean to me. What do these stones mean to you? In 5 years, some of you sat right here and had church while the pastor just preached to you from where I'm standing, because there wasn't enough people to justify sitting over there. But in 5 years, you, Emmanuel United Methodist Church, have been recognized by the bishop of this conference as an excellent church. That's happened in 5 years. That's what these stones mean to me. Today's a very special day. But it would be even more of a heartache if we quit reminding ourselves of what he's done here, and we quit telling other people about it, and we find ourselves back in Judges chapter 2. Not knowing the Lord or anything he had done. I've said this from time to time, and it's not insensitivity towards this moment or this day, but if there's not a 60th year, a 75th year, a 100th year of ministry in this place, all we did was look back and feel good about ourselves. God's still calling us to go forward and to continue the legacy of all those who have already gone on. Think about the people that y'all stood on their shoulders while they did the work in this church. Today they're here in the presence of a candle. But up in heaven, they're urging us on, keep going forward. Until you get to be with them, you have no faithful answer other than to keep telling the story of God's graciousness. We're going to take communion in just a moment. And communion in the Methodist Church is way more than a memorial. We believe that the presence of God, the grace of Christ, is truly here. We can't explain it. It's not in anything. It's not nothing scientific happens with the bread and the juice. But we believe in receiving those elements and remembering what we're saying, that the Holy Spirit is right there. And that we can truly encounter Christ through that. Will you pray with me before we go to Holy Communion?